you know, while you guys are doing the on the ground ministry, can we be a resource to the chaplains? That's the question.
If you can give them more time, then yes, I would say you can resource them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my ministry is to chaplains because they have nobody to talk to. They can't, if they're a senior guy, they can't talk to anybody in the chain of command. They can't talk to the underlings. It's like a fraternity that nobody communicates. Nobody deals with hard issues. So I connect with every chaplain, take them to lunch, and I hear all their stories. I mean, there are people in the chaplaincy and their marriages are broken and they're going through the motions and nobody knows their pain. Like in the church, same thing.
And I have the same ministry. I mean, we all have that same ministry with the pastors because they won't talk to anybody.
We do that on the basis where we're located. You CDM guys could do it where there's no NAV reps if there's a base in that vicinity.
Right.
But those military chaplains are really
okay. Okay.
In the Air Force.
Right.
They have no time. If you call them up, they wouldn't give you any time, I'm sure. Because they don't see that they have any capacity to meet with a guy, even if when it's for their good. They couldn't back that in
for
justified probably
time.
Okay, good.
I think that, you know, I can see a local church as a resource if they knew what they were doing. But if you're going to be a, you know, if you're a local church and your understanding of discipleship is, you know, come to our church and stay there 10 years and read all these books and then you'll be a disciple.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Right.
So the problem is, I'm not sure if you can take a local church who doesn't have any experience in the military and then say you are going to be able to disciple. Okay.
Right.
I think more it's a guy like Carlos going to that church and he may connect with military guys there. And then say, hey, you know,
we'll see,
outreach on the post.
Let me just say, when I went to Norfolk back in October for the Military Mission Network conference, I mentioned, you know, to my Tuesday morning men's group, this is where I was going. I won't be here next week. I'll be in Norfolk doing this thing. Guy came up afterwards. He says, that sounds really interesting. He said, I'd like to be involved in that. He is not a military guy. Now he could be. He's got the, yeah. I mean, I say he could be. He works for the school system, but he's young. He's energetic, you know. And he sees the, you know. So there's a trainable guy, and you know, and so they're out there, you know. And I think that's the issue. Don.
Well, I don't think most pastors even know what discipleship is. I think it started in a Bible class.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's what Doug was
program.
Saying. Yeah.
Program.
Yeah. Yeah, and so when we introduce, you know, some of our material, by the way, you have your own materials. I don't know if you've seen, I just happened to bring it in here, the Adventure of Discipling Others. Have you seen this? This is a tool that's written by Ron Bennett and John Purvis. But you guys would like this. If you're looking for tools, and this is NAV Press, that kind of goes through a lot of stuff navigators do in an organized way to teach people how to minister one-on-one or in small groups. That's a good tool. If you didn't know about it, there it is. Adventure of Discipling Others, and it's NAV Press.
Yeah, it's really targeted at helping a small group a small group of people, 4, 5, 6. Anyway, spent several months in the first phases of it, first 3 or 4 lessons, like there's 12 total. It's really kind of core. This is what submitting is all about. Here's some major things. Find another person. Start discipling, and let's learn along the way. So the last 8 lessons are kind of let's talk about. It's on the job training.
Yeah,
and the churches that don't have a clue.
Yeah, and you will see stuff you've seen before. I mean, Born to Reproduce is in there. Stuff by Script Gray is in there. You know, I mean, all the, you know, stuff of Claiming the Promises is in there. You know, Praying for Your Folks is in there. All that, it's all there. And you look at it and say, oh, wow. So it's packaged nicely. I'm using it with success, you know, in my church, in several churches, but I'm using it with, I've got guys that are going through, and then we got other guys, so that between the five of us, two of them went through it last year, two of them are new, and so the two that went through last year, you know, it's just really been good, and it helps people think outside themselves. Carol.
So it sounds like maybe the best solution is, like talking about Carlos, that, you know, Zeddy continues to have Bible studies and so on with guys who have chosen to become involved in mm-hmm. a local church. So continuing that same training and giving them the vision mm-hmm. for ministering to military guys.
Right, right. Yes, thank you.
Or read a kid prior to here.
So here's
back the second president, Navigator Sorensen, Sandy made a statement once, and he concluded, navigators are not church reformers. The best minister we can have the church is to provide qualified laborers. I just want to tell one story. Colorado Springs, I met a Presbyterian minister once, and he told me, he said, I can tell you every person in my congregation is meeting with a navigator. He said, I've never asked, nobody's ever told me. I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, first he gets to come alive, he's faithful in the church, he begins to work in the lives of others and has an outreach, so as he's influenced, it'll solve it. And I thought that was interesting that he didn't say, you know, we've got something structured going on. He said, I can just tell. So I wonder if Warren might be right on it, that the best contribution we can make is to provide them with qualified laborers. When I talk to pastors about this, I tell them I really have my sympathy, because it's like Timothy 2:2 said to teach faithful men. Also, but my observation is that the average pastor, the sharp edge of his energy and time is taken up with the unfaithful. So he can't do it. Somebody else has to come in and do it. And fortunately, there are some of the pastors who want help. We had a representative over at Czechoslovakia that worked with students. We had a little extra time. So he went to visit the pastor and told him, you know, what he believed, what he could offer, and so forth. So the pastor listened very carefully. After Sue, he said, see that picture on the wall? And I looked over, and it was a flock of sheep, a shepherd with his crook up in front of him. And then in the bushes, were the eyes of a wolf. Took me out, you know, stood out the shadows there. And he had his staff all ready. And he told our man, our friend, says, see that picture? The sheep? That's my flock. I'm the shepherd. You're the wolf.
That really relates to where I'm sitting a little bit differently, in that pastors are interested in what we're doing. We have some guys, a guy who was discipled by Joe Holt, mm-hmm. who's now at Fort Bliss as a civilian. Mm-hmm. And he really likes what we're doing. He helps our small groups. He wants to see what we're doing assisted into the local church. What advice would you have for someone? Well, we have about three different churches that like what we're doing. But I really don't have the time to do my ministry and help these guys. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on that or...
Yeah, I think that observation is wider than the military, you know, just the average in general. What can they do?
One thing you can do is put them on to us. You know, if he wants to know and you haven't got time to help him, refer him to us, and because we do telephone coaching and, you know, all kinds of things.
Here's the case. I said I don't have the time. I don't know what I don't know is what I mean to say.
Right.
I don't know what it would take, and I really haven't explored because I'm afraid of reneging on the ministry that God has given me.
Right.
So I've really not touched this.
Right.
Are you saying that he wants to know how to do that kind of ministry on the post, or how he can develop disciples within his church?
Yes.
Both.
Both.
Yes,
Because, see, I think that the way to start is to get CDM involved with that church, because they can teach them how to do discipleship.
Right.
And then they can see if they can expand that ministry into the church. Into the,
well, what Gary does in our Bible study, everyone in the church loves what he's doing. And so, but Gary is a civilian, full-time job, 7 kids, doesn't have time to really train these guys. And so he's trying to liaise between his church and us. And I really don't know what I don't know when it comes to...
Well, and again, that's what we're here for. We want to be a resource to you. I think that's one of the services we can provide. And as we get this car in motion, then we can tweak it, you know. But you know, we all know you can't steer a parked car. So we get stuff in motion, and then we'll learn what we can do. Because we know some stuff. Well, yeah. How many of y'all are familiar with the 2-7 series written 30 years ago now? Okay. The sole purpose of the 2-7 series was to take Navigator stuff and put it into the church and pace it out so a church guy wouldn't run away after the first week, because, you know, the pace of ministry, you know, in the military and the collegiate environment is much faster than what you can do, you know, in a church. So that was the vision behind 2-7. It's a little bit dated right now, but it's still, you know, the ideas in it are good. And we have some other tools that you guys probably don't even know about that
so
would be useful.
What you're probably saying is there's not going to be much of a link between them and us.
Not necessarily, but...
That's where my question revolves.
Yeah, I see it working always. I can either coach you, or you can put us, and I say me, but one of us, or we can coach him directly, or we can coach both of you. I mean, we can...
Well, I'm thinking more symbiotically than just helping them.
Right.
Trying to find a symbiotic relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's my struggle.
Let me just make that comment. We have a new tool that's going to, we're going to actually train all of our staff in November. It's a tool called the Alongsider. Mm-hmm. It's a new tool, outstanding. And it's going to work really well with our churches because, you know, in the past, churches have been very guilty of just trying to break everything into the church. The churches that we're working with are intentional disciple making churches, our IBC churches. We are helping to. What we're trying to do at the core of CDM is to help church leadership help their church to become, to have sustainable cultures of evangelism and discipleship. Sustainable. So we're trying to put all kinds of things in place for that. And one of the things that they're learning to do is to be very missional and helping to train laborers to look at the areas that God has placed them in. And to begin to pray and come alongside those people. And to hopefully be able to share Christ with them and then grow them up in Christ. Now, if what you're saying is true, and there's a significant number of people that want to leave base on weekends and they're attending churches, there's no reason why those churches can't be training those people in discipleship and in evangelism to pray for and come alongside those people that they work around, which are people on the base. Some of those people on the base may choose to go to chapel, some of them may choose to go to church outside, but I see it as a huge synergistic thing. So churches, you know, when you talk churches, and we do this too, there's such a huge difference in the kind of churches out there, and there aren't very many real disciple-making churches. The disciple-making churches, I think, are, and you know, NAS overall is taking much more a kingdom approach, much more kingdom-focused approach. And churches are doing that too, if they really have God's vision. And God's vision isn't just to grow the church, it's to grow the kingdom. And if there's a base next to them that they can send laborers in or train laborers to grow the kingdom, regardless of which church they end up, I think you'll see a difference in some of these pastors and churches.
Well, I mean, we all like the idea of, you know, churches developing disciples who come to the base and their laborers and helping. And that's a great concept. And it's like you said it one time, you know, you can have a quiet time anytime. It's just that I've never seen anybody do it well other than in the morning. So you can have these all these great ideas. The problem is, I got a ton of churches in Colorado Springs. How many of them actually are coming to the base and laboring? None. So it's a great concept. It's just not happening. And I don't know how it's going to happen. What we've actually seen is not the churches, but we've actually seen individuals. Like we had the
Darren and Alice Rouse, and they had a heart for military. They were going to, I think, they go to Woodland Valley, I think. And they said, they came to us and said, look, we have a heart for military ministry. What can we do? Hey, great. You know, and they, for probably close to 2 years, they were ministering with us down in Fort Carson. Now, they're not doing that anymore. Why is that? They're too busy. They got too many things going on in their church. They can't do the discipleship down in Carson. There's another guy here. What's his name? Fred Smith. And he's got a heart for the military. So what does he do? He contacts us and says, well, how can I be involved? My concern with Fred Smith is he's going to get involved in the church, and pretty soon he's going to be too busy. So, that's the issue. What I would like to see is the churches be willing to free up people who have a heart for ministry
yep.
to the military to come alongside us.
What you're saying about churches is true, not just in the military, it's in everything. I mean, churches got people so busy, they can't talk to their neighbors.
That's right.
You know, and that's, we're trying to do away with programs and help, by churches doing less, they can do more.
Well, we run the same thing with the Navigator program on base, because you can get a guy involved with so many Christian activities on base that he never gets to hang out with the guys he works with.
There's a church near where, in the Austin area where I live, that it's too far for me to go, but I've got some friends that go there, and they are... It's a High Point Baptist Church, are affiliated with Nine Marks Ministry Church Network, John Piper and those guys in the world. And they are developing their own military ministry to minister to family members and soldiers on post, wherever that may be, of deployed soldiers or whatever that is. So they're in the fledgling stages of doing that, and they're enlisting help of military members that attend that church to help lead the building of that group so that we can launch. So, and so far it's looking really good. And my buddy Paul, who's part of that, has asked me to help get that going too with some inputs to go forward. But that's another way to do it. So if the church embraces that as one of their committees, you could call it, to minister to the military and put some support behind it, they can give their scope and let them have at it and get the backing of the pastor saying, go be sent. So.
Yeah, there's something that I discovered just listening to you guys thinking about this is one thing, guys want to know where you're going to church. You know, they always ask you, where do you go? And I was going to the chapel, but now I go somewhere else. And so they all follow you. You know, they want to go where you go. And another thing I find as a shepherd, I can protect them from the activities of the church.
Right.
I tell them, if you go there and you get involved in all these things, which are great, you won't do the things
right.
that are even better. I said, now, that's what you're going to face. And I've had many guys filter off, just go somewhere. I said, okay. But I see that as a shepherd, I come along and say, they're the wolf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to steal my sheep because they want to fill their hat as they pass it, because I see all that. And so I think, man, I protect them. I take them where I go, so I could be part of that whole thing, if that's the case. There was a church in our area, a Calvary church, good church, good pastor, and his whole youth group, was my ministry. They all went on Wednesdays. And then I went to him and tried to hit him up for money. He said, well, we don't really know you. I said, what? Your whole youth group is the people I've ministered to. And I know the pastor, and the second, the youth pastor, whatever it was, we met regularly. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, that's how you want to do it. I didn't take a bad attitude. But I thought the whole thing is, they would have really nothing now in this church if it wasn't for me allowing them, or doing with them, connecting with them, going with them. So we can, sometimes these churches off base, if they want to go, they follow us. You know, when I take guys fishing, they don't want to come back if they don't catch them. But if they catch something, and they want to go again. And if I catch something, I'm leading the way. I'm showing them how to do it. And I see that many times. It's anything. If I can be successful at it in front of them, they will do it. And, so taking a guy to a church, because I know a chapel sometimes can be dead end. You go 1 week and you get a great preacher, and next week the Mormons speak.
Yeah.
You go, man.
Yeah.
So I think you do role model by taking them and going them or protecting them.
But the reality really is that we are dealing in an environment.
environment where these guys, we might have 3-4 months.
That's right.
And then they are on their own for a year. And so this idea of, well, we'll get fed at the church. Well, guess what? When you deploy, you ain't going to be, the church ain't going.
And that's what you should tell them. Listen, you need what you need now. What do you think you go to basic training for? They just don't put a uniform on you and send you to Iraq. So you can say, man, you are, need this to fight the, not only the war, but the spiritual battle in your heart. You need what we're giving you.
Right.
And
see, and that, but see that focus that we have on that mission to get these guys trained to feed themselves. I don't think my church has that.
No, they don't. They don't. Their longevity, and they many times they say, now, when your friends, and not only, well, how do I do that? I mean, that's, they do everything.
Okay, we have identified some good problems, which was where I thought we'd go. And we, in, let me just say, we in CDM want to come along any way we can and help you. We all are aware of what the church will do to you, whether even as Margaret and Roy said, in our own ministries. You know, you're trying to get a guy to concentrate on meeting with men, and he can't even do that because he's too busy serving on too many committees. And so that's an ongoing issue. However, I think there are some godly pastors, godly churches out there, and we want to cooperate as best we can. And we want, and again, the bottom line, we want to help y'all. So if we can help you, let us know. I'm going to be sending you some stuff. I've got everybody's email. I'm going to be sending you some things that I hope will be helpful. If you connect with the pastor and you ain't got time to talk to him, send him to us, and we will make sure that we get somebody that will do that. By the way, I'm not the director of CDM. I'm just the Colorado Springs guy. Margaret and Roy are on our director's team. Sam Hershey is our point person, I guess. And I don't know if you know Dennis Blevins, an old Navy guy, is still involved. And you bet.
I'm doing a workshop on maximizing your chaplain ministry tomorrow afternoon, which is specifically focused toward chapels, but it's got really applications.
If you're in a lot of church.
A lot of stuff we're talking about based on the book of Daniel. So if you want to
pick up with that.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, I think just having us talk about it.
It's been very useful for us, and I'm going to try to collate our notes and send those out to you as well, and we'll see what happens over time. And him I can talk to sometime over coffee. And we'll... Okay, let me pray for us. Lord, thanks for this time, and for the hearts that are represented here, for the folks that are just trying to. We're all just trying to raise up folks and send them out. And there are challenges. Sometimes we feel like things are working against us. I know we on the church side would love it if the churches were not working against us. And we're trying to do something about that. Pray for all these guys that are out, you know, on the front lines, working with the military who are also on another kind of front line. And just pray for your strength and energy for them. And Lord, if there's anything we can do to continue to serve each other, help us to figure that out. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Thanks for coming. This has been very useful. And we'll see what happens.